good. No pressure at all. Oh, by the way, Morgan, when you're up here playing next, I want you to sing into this, okay? It'd be great. Sit right over here, be fine. Thanks. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Lisa is out of town. Amen. And she is getting some grandbaby time in North Carolina. And that's all good. Praise the Lord. And that is my grandbaby. She cries just like her pawpaw. Amen. Pawpaw's a crier. Amen. It is well. It is well. It is well. Praise the Lord. Amen. You think all the way down through the Bible. As I stand there and listen to those guys sing this morning, play. We think all through the Bible. You know, you can go clear back to, Noah and all those folks. And you can work your way up through when the floods were coming. He didn't know if that boat was going to float or not. He had to put his trust in God. He had to let go. Put his trust in God, because you're getting in something that if it doesn't float, you don't have a chance because you done shut the doors, right? And so he gets in the boat and it floats. He put his trust in God. We look at David and we look at Abraham and we look at all the patriarchs and they all put their trust in God. And a lot of those guys weren't stellar folks, right? A lot of them weren't stellar folks. They had issues. Some of them had issues. And we all have issues. And we're all not perfect every day. We're all not up to par every day. I'm up to par some days more than, or not up to par some days more than others. But we're not always up to par, are we? We don't always have our A game on. We don't always have our happy face. As my granddaughter Bella says, she says, "Papa, what's wrong with your face?" Because I have a face. Just ask those that know me. When I have that face, what's wrong with your face? My wife says I wear my emotions right here. Right here. And everybody knows if Jim's having a bad day. I don't have to say a word. Because I get a look. I've got a look on my face. It's my face. It's my face, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, I get that look. What's wrong with your face, Paul? You know, it'd do us well if we all had someone just to look at us every once in a while and just say, "What's wrong with your face, man?" You know? And we're not talking about your looks, and we're not talking about your acne scar from when you were 17. We're talking about that look. And so we have to learn to put our trust in God. And you know, when I was putting this together last night, 3 days ago, 4 days ago, and I had notes, and I was going over it again this morning, and it was, I had a lot of notes. And, we're blessed with a pastor who brings forth a beautiful word to us every Sunday that she's here. And we're gonna attempt this morning to give you something that you can feed on till we can get the steak back in here, steak and potatoes. But we're gonna give you something that you can feed on. And as I was thinking about this message over the last week since Lisa talked to me and just trying to think what God would have us to say. I didn't even talk to Caleb about these songs, but you know, the fact that we do have to look at our lives every day and say it as well. And we're going through struggles and we're going through turmoil and we're going through, whether it be physical or financial or mental or emotional or whatever it might be. And it's easy to say it, but it's not easy to do it. Right? When you're physically struggling It's not easy to say, it's well. It's not easy to say that. When you're mentally going through depression or anxiety or stress, it's not easy to say, it is well. It's easy for those around about us to say, what's wrong with your face? But sometimes we're going through struggles. We're going through struggles. Some of these struggles are because of us. Some of these struggles are consequences of our actions. And these are the consequences. But the good news about that is God can deliver you from your consequences. He can heal you of your consequences. He can bring you out of your consequences. Will you have a scar? Yep, you might have a scar. But God can bring you out. And that's sort of what God laid on my heart. Because, as I've gone through life, we ministered here last year, a few months ago, whenever it was. And, in industry, you have what we call capability charts and things like that. And your process that you go through in a manufacturing environment, you have a process. But that process does this. It fluctuates some. You can't get just a straight line. So there's an up, there's a down, there's an up, there's a down. But you're looking to get that average. You're looking to get that X bar. You're looking to get that capability, that you're a capable process. And as we go through our lives, we find that we're up and down, right? I don't know of anybody that's always running at the top. If you do, I want to talk to you after church, right? Because I want to know your secret. But we all have ups and downs. And the goal is for us to take those ups and downs and try to bring them in. Bring them in as tight as we can bring them. Stop the wild fluctuations, right? And how do we do that? We do that by trusting in Him. We do that by pouring out of ourselves into others. And we got something hiding up here under this white sheet. Some of you are here early. You saw that. But because that's the way I do. Sometimes I'm late getting stuff together. Stop. but sometimes, we put the stuff together late. But if you saw that, just ignore that for the moment. That's a hidden sheet. Just a sheet. It's just a sheet. There's nothing behind the curtain. There's nothing behind the curtain. Ignore that man behind the curtain. But, as we start to pour ourselves out into others, we will find that that God will pour into us. He will pour into us. And so let's go to the, Jamie, let's go to the first scripture. We're going to go through a few scriptures this morning. I've got an electronic thing here and a Bible, and we're just going to use this. So, amen. So Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. And the reason that we brought that scripture up is because, as I've gone through life and probably as you've gone through life, some of us are younger, some of us are older, and we've been through life. We've had situations in life, and each one of us at times. Now, Samson's situation that he found himself in was sort of self-imposed. He allowed himself to be deceived. He put himself in the lap of Delilah, and he had his strength taken from him because he gave the secret to his strength away. We all know the story of him getting his head shaved and lost his strength, and he was put in prison. But while he was in prison, his hair grew back. And with his hair growing back, his strength came back. Now the scar and the result of the consequence of his action was he lost his vision. But his strength came back over time. And as he was standing there and the Philistines, his enemy, was around about, he asked a young boy to take his hands and put one hand on a pillar and put the other hand on the pillar. Now the significance of that to me was this.
On a pillar.
when he put those hands out, the significance of that to me was it resembled something else. It resembled Jesus with his hands outstretched on the cross. Now, it was a different way to get deliverance, but Samson brought those pillars down and brought that temple down on his enemy, and the result was a deliverance greater than any he had ever experienced. When Jesus took his hands and he went to the cross, it was a deliverance greater than anything that had ever been experienced by mankind. Now, the point to that is, for me, and hopefully for you, is that out of his consequence, or out of his condition, or out of his situation, or out of his problem, or out of where he was at that time in life, God delivered him. And the thing that I wanted to express to the folks today was, is it doesn't matter where you find yourself, whether you've self-imposed that consequence, or whether you've allowed yourself to get there, or whether it, and we're going to see some other examples here in a minute, or whether you didn't have nothing to do with it, but you find yourself in a situation, God is big enough to deliver you out of that situation. He's big enough to turn that situation, to turn that problem, to turn that condition, to turn that consequence around. He's big enough. Now, I know that there's folks under the sound of my voice this morning that are struggling, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, whether it be struggling with your past, whether it be struggling with you don't know your future. But whatever it is, God is big enough to bring you through that. Now, you see, the good thing about this, and one hand here on that pillow. Pushing his past. Pushing into his future. Now you know that symbol for us is that when Jesus reached out and he had his hands on the cross, that he was reaching all the way back into your past. And he was reaching all the way forward into your future. Because he's big enough to take you as an individual. He's big enough to put that past behind you. And he's big enough to direct your future. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bring up 1 Samuel while Jamie's bringing that up. I mean 1 Samuel 22, 1 and 2. Sorry. That could be my writing. That's another weakness that I have. It's a little bit more scribble than a write. Too many years on a computer. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I don't want to sound like a political person to make a statement. But so what Samson had, I like call it a pillar moment. He had a pillar moment. Not a Spartacus moment. But he had a pillar moment. And each of us in our lives has a pillar moment periodically where we need to bring about a change, where there needs to be a change coming. Samson brought about a change. Amen. 1 Samuel 22, 1 and 2. Said, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. and there were with him about 400 men. And so where did he go? Go back to verse 1 a minute. And he escaped to the cave Adullam. So David went down and hid in a cave. Now, what pushed him into that was he was hiding from Saul. He was hiding from King Saul, and he was not willing to kill King Saul. He didn't want to fight King Saul, so he was hiding from King Saul, and he found himself in this cave. And you know, every once in a while in our life, we find ourselves hiding. We find ourselves hiding. We're hiding from whatever it is that we're afraid of. We're hiding from whatever it is that makes us uncomfortable. I'm not comfortable always. She says I am. My wife says I am. But I'm not real comfortable always being up here. And sometimes we hide from what makes us uncomfortable in life. And what makes us uncomfortable could be anything. Right? Think about what makes you uncomfortable and what you hide from sometimes. Sometimes it could be the fact that something that you need to do is just difficult. Maybe you need to go visit someone and man, you just don't really want to do that. Maybe you need to go pray for someone and man, what if they don't want me to pray for them? Or maybe you need to go mow the grass and it makes you uncomfortable because you'd rather sit in your chair, you know? Amen. Maybe you've got a person that you haven't been around for a while who sees you or who is on the other side of the grocery store and you go down four aisles so you don't have to run into that person. But maybe God put that person in the grocery store that day so that they would run into you. Because out of you, might come a pillar moment for them. Maybe it's up to you to go to them, not run the other way. Not go look at pickles when you really don't want pickles and you want coffee. Don't go down that ice cream aisle. Well, let's don't go there. But don't go down that aisle. Go to that person. There's a reason maybe that you, and maybe there's no reason at all. But summon up that courage to come out of the cave. Don't go hide in the cave. Don't do like David did and go hide in the cave to get out of that which is uncomfortable or that which is not maybe in your plan for the day, right? Because that some of those folks in the grocery store, that can turn into a long conversation, can it? Some of those folks going to interrupt your schedule. Some of those folks going to want to talk to you. Some of those folks going to want to cry, want to give you a hug. They're going to want to ask you to pray for them. Some of those folks going to make you feel uncomfortable. And some of those folks are just going to say, hey, man, what's happening? Hi, how are you? Sometimes it's easy. Most times it's not. Sometimes you're there for a reason. Okay? Let's go to 2 Samuel now, James. While she's going there, one of the things that happened in the rest of this chapter was that in 1 Samuel, David was on the run, well, in the few chapters before that. David was on the run because Saul was trying to kill him, so he was afraid. But David had made a covenant with Saul's son, Jonathan. He'd made a covenant, and part of that covenant was that he would forever be faithful to Jonathan's house. That he would be forever faithful to Jonathan's house. And that he would always remember Jonathan and the covenant that they had. And he would show kindness to his house always. Now, Jonathan was the son of Saul. Jonathan's children, they just made a covenant that David needed to be kind to them. So I guess maybe in a way, David was being kind to him at that moment because he wasn't killing their grandfather. But sometimes we make covenant with folk, and we need to honor that covenant. Amen? All right. So let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. Now, it's not one of my favorite scriptures because this child got crippled, but if you go over to 2 Samuel chapter 9, it shows this beautiful picture of how God can bring about change. So this is many years later, and David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Remember, Jonathan and David had a covenant, and that covenant was that David would be kind to his house, to Jonathan's house, forever. And it says, "Then there was of the house of, and there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba." And when they, not Ziba for you NCIS fans. I should have worn my NCIS hat, right? Not Ziba, Ziba. "And when they had called unto him David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. And King David said and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. And now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee the kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am? And the king called Ziba, Saul's servant, said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house. Now therefore, and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits. That thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now see, this is a beautiful picture here. Here's a child, 5 years old, running away from his grandfather had been killed, his father had been killed in battle, and his nurse was running away with him, dropped him, crippled him at 5 years old. And time passes. Years pass. He's an adult. He has children of his own. He has servants. And David said, Is there anybody left of the house of Jonathan? Is there anybody left? Yeah, well, there's a servant guy over here, Ziba. And he goes and he gets Ziba, and he said, Is there anybody? Well, yeah, there's this one child. He's crippled, though. He's crippled. He can't get around. And David said, Bring him in here. So he went and got Mephibosheth. He brought him into the house. And the beautiful part of the story is that when he brought him into the house, you know, Mephibosheth's thinking, I'm the last that, he doesn't know about the covenant. He's thinking this is bad. He goes into the house. He said, you know, I'm your servant. And I'll do whatever you ask, blah, blah. And at the end of that scripture, he tells Ziba, you're going to work the fields. I'm going to give him everything back. That what is his father's, his grandfather's. He's got it all back. And not only does he have it all back, but you're going to work it for him. And he's going to sit at my table and I'm going to feed him. Now see, the beautiful part of that picture is when he sits at the king's table, you can't see that he's crippled. It's my other face. When you sit at the king's table, you can't see the crippledness. You can't see the failure. You can't see, even though it was not imposed on him by himself, there was a problem there. But when you sit at the king's table, you can't see that problem. He was restored. He was restored wholly and completely. He still had a consequence. He still was crippled. But he was sitting at the king's table. Sometimes we still have a scar or two, but we can sit at the king's table. And I'll tell you one thing, he'll restore you, and he won't partly restore you. That's not God's plan. His plan isn't just to partly restore you. His plan is to wholly restore you. God wants to restore you and sit you at the king's table. He wants to put you where that tablecloth hides your scars. And it's been 20 or 30 years since this child fell. It's been 20 or 30 years since Jonathan and Saul were dead. And God, David, King David, said, bring me someone of the house of Saul or Jonathan if they're still alive. And they did. And he restored them. Blessed them with lands, blessed them with all of that, and then ultimately blessed them with being able to sit at the king's table. That's a blessing to be able to eat at the king's table. That's a blessing to be able to eat at the king's table, not to have to worry about what you eat. I'm telling you something, from somebody who has scars, from somebody who has failures in life, I can tell you that God can restore you and set you upright. I can tell you that God can take your past and push it that way and take your future and push you right into it. Your future is in Him. I want to show you something here a minute. Voila. These are pictures. And thankfully, we had three that look alike. And there was a reason behind that. So as you take and you run into that person in the grocery store, or you're in this house and you feel that you need to pray for someone, and you pour into that person, and you pour in, and you pour in, and you pour in, and you pour in, and sometimes you keep pouring. Until it's all gone. And so part of our fear sometimes is we keep pouring into people and we think we're going to be empty. But you know the beautiful thing about it is over here is Jesus. And as you pour it out, He's pouring in. He's pouring in. He's pouring in. He's filling you up. I can tell you something beyond a shadow of a doubt. His pitcher never runs dry. His pitcher never runs dry. And as you keep pouring, He'll keep pouring. And as you keep pouring, He'll keep pouring. That water of life that's in Him will not run dry. And because of that, the water of life that's in you will not run dry. It will not run dry. You have an abundance and an overwhelming supply of the Spirit of Christ. Pap used to say it, used to say, washing of the water by the word. Used to quote that scripture all the time, washing of the water by the word. And I looked that scripture up because I wasn't sure if it was right. And it was. Washing of the water by the word, because it didn't make sense to me, but I understand what it is because we have the Spirit of Christ, but it's by the word of God that Spirit gets washed. It gets cleansed. It gets purified. It gets better. We sing the word. We preach the word. We read the word. We talk the word. When you find yourself in the grocery store this week, don't you dare go the other way if you see someone. Keep going down to get your coffee. Leave the pickles alone. Leave the pickles alone. Leave them pickles alone. Somebody might need you that day. And somebody just might want, it just might be a friendly hello. But if they need you, take yourself and pour yourself into them. Pour yourself into them. They may take it all. They may take part of it. You keep pouring, because if you keep pouring, God will just keep filling you up. And that grocery store trip, it might take a little bit longer, but it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. They might pour back into you. Amen. Amen. And that's a good point, Tam, because that person you poured into, they may pour right back into you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So have your pillar moment, whether it be in the grocery store or wherever it might be. God will pour into you. We can talk about a lot of other folks. We can talk about the prodigal son. We can talk about Peter. We can talk about all these folks throughout the scriptures who had found themselves in a place of despair or a place of thinking, man, I really blew that. But pour out what little you have into someone and God will fill you up. He'll fill you up. He'll fill you up. He'll fill you up. Peter, we know the story of Peter. We know the story. I've got lots of notes, but we know the story of Peter. Peter was one of Jesus' big disciples. He was one of the big guys, right? He was one of the top echelon. He was in a baseball batting order. He'd have been batting cleanup. He'd have been the home run hitter. He was one of the leaders of the group. And when they came and took Jesus, you know the story. The guards came to get Jesus in the garden, and Peter lopped the ear off of one of them. Jesus picked it up out of the dirt, put it back on, healed that individual. As Lisa says, he went home to his wife that day and she said, well, how was your day? Well, it was pretty good. Had my ear lopped off, but this guy put it back on. The big deal. Not a big day. So he had a pretty exciting day. But the point behind it is that Peter was always ready to go to battle. He was always ready to defend the Lord until it came time and to fulfill the scripture. Peter, when they took him, Peter was standing around a fire, and a little maiden said, aren't you one of them? Weren't you with him? And he denied him. And Jesus had foretold that Peter would deny him three times. And Peter said, oh, no, Lord, I'll go with you. I'll go with you as far as you need to go. And we've all done that. We've all said, God, I'll never betray you. I'll never let you down. And we let him down. And Peter let him down. And Peter denied him once. He denied him twice. He denied him three times. And he looked over and there was Jesus. And Jesus just looked at him. And he couldn't hardly live with that. And when Jesus rose from the grave, and he came to him, all that was put behind. All that was put behind him. Because that's the God we serve. Jesus forgave him. You know, and I often say this, and you can take it for what it's worth. I think if Judas wouldn't have taken his life, Jesus forgave him too. Amen. He forgave him anyhow when he went to the cross, right? Reached all the way back here and all the way up here. But praise the Lord, it doesn't matter what your failure. It doesn't matter if you deny the Lord. It doesn't matter what you do. God will forgive you. It might leave a scar, but God will forgive you. And I want you to understand that this morning. Praise the Lord. Pour yourself out into others. Let God pour into you. Let them pour back into you. Amen. Have a pillar moment where you're pushing your past behind you. You're pushing into your future and bring deliverance into your life. God is big enough, no matter what your situation, no matter what the consequence of what has happened in your life is, God is big enough to pull you through. He's big enough to turn it around. He's big enough to turn it around. While you're sitting in a state of being in prison, while you're sitting in a cave, God is restoring your strength. He's bringing you back. He loves you today. Yes, he does. He loves you just as you are. I read somewhere on Facebook yesterday or this morning or whenever it was, one of the churches that we know folks, they advertised to come as you are. No dress code, you know, we don't have a dress code here. Come as you are, because there's no requirements for you to be here. Just come. Just come. Let God do something in you. Let him change. That which may have looked like a failure in the past, that which may have left a scar, that which may have left you feeling unworthy, let him take it and turn it around for you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Cabe, can you and Jason get that table and maybe take those back and empty them for the children? Come. Thanks, Jason. Amen. Praise the Lord. Morgan, Caleb, when you're done with that, I got a lot of labor there for you this morning, don't we? You guys can come and two of them are full, one of them should be empty. You'll be good. He is. He's a college guy. Let's sing. Well, sing whatever you want. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.